Hello, this is Dr. Shiva. Welcome to our podcast, Get Educated or Be Enslaved.
Episode 1467, air date July 12th, 2024.
All right, everyone, good evening. It's Thursday. It's in the United States here in the East Coast. It's a little bit after, it's almost 9 p.m. EST. And I want to welcome everyone every Thursdays at 11 a.m. EST. And then again at 8 p.m. EST, we hold a open house and a town hall, respectively. And the purpose of those events, and you can see some of the people in our town hall who've signed up. And you can, if you, those of you want to come to the town hall, it allows you to actually participate and ask questions. You can go to vashiva.com/orientation. And the open house is Thursdays at 11 a.m. and EST at 8 p.m. We begin it by playing some videos that we want to level set. But I want to welcome everyone in Zoom world. Can you guys hear me okay? Just want to do a sound check. Okay, good. So in these
sound events, it's okay, Dr. Shiva, but the video is a little blurry.
Oh, it is?
Just FYI.
Huh. How's that? Is that better? Suresh?
Still a little blurry. Not sure why.
That's weird. Okay, but you can hear me, right?
Yeah, audio is clear.
Okay, that's interesting. Okay. So anyway, it's been, to everyone listening, we've been working very, very hard. I'll give you what my day was today. You know, I had to literally go fix an AC unit on the roof, figure out what the issues were. And I'll talk about that. There's some very interesting things going on. You know, the climate change stuff has forced people to move to different large AC units under the claim that these units are affecting the climate, when they're actually reducing the efficiency of AC units and forcing the climate scam to take place, where people have to get rid of AC units, which you could recycle and put a new kind of freon in it that is actually more inefficient. So anyway, I did a little video on it, which I'll play, but you know, one part of my day was that. Another part of my day was mobilizing volunteers in Massachusetts. We have a few weeks to get on the ballot here. It's a tremendous amount of work. And we have to do that step by step by step, finding volunteers, finding people to support us, all those kind of things. And it's been, and we have about 2 weeks left. So it's a lot of hands-on work. And then separate from that, Suresh will tell you, he and I do a lot of IT work to make sure this infrastructure runs and what are the other advances we can do. You know, negotiating with our printers so we can get these cards printed and making them affordable for people, right? So you guys can go share with other people. So, but one of the biggest areas that I've, in the last 2 years, as we've built our movement, has been really spending a lot of time on supporting new leaders and supporting their training to understand what is leadership. And this is not an easy task. And that's what I want to talk about today. What I want to really talk about today are what I call the three qualities of real leaders. And so to put this in a framework, some of you may know that the concept of building a movement has always been in my blood for many years, but you know, student movements, et cetera. But on a national and global level, in 2017 and 2018, many of you know, our movement took the form of electoral politics when we ran against a woman called Elizabeth Warren in Massachusetts, a woman who claimed that she was Native American, got her job at Harvard based on that. And we're the ones who forced Elizabeth Warren, a senator in the U.S. Congress, to take a DNA test. It's quite hilarious. It was one of the very interesting campaigns we did, which said only the real Indian can defeat the fake Indian. Okay. And it was a great ad campaign. You know, everyone in Massachusetts knew about us. It was only 10 of us, but we got about 150,000 votes, 10 people spending essentially nothing. But that was really showing what we could do creatively and learning electoral politics. We ran initially against Warren as a Republican. The Republican Party spit us out, so we had to run as independents. We got all the signatures to get on the ballot. We should have been able to debate her and the Republicans. the Republicans and Democrats got together against us. And we had to go file lawsuits. By then, the election was over. And in fact, the lawyer that helped us file the lawsuit was working with the swarm, and he fucked up our case. So we learned a lot, but we got out there. I could do a whole movie on this. The second phase of our movement was we said, okay, we'll run as Republicans. So we take that off the table. They said, oh, we didn't want to play with them. And in 2020, as many of you know, we ran. We won that election in the Republican primary. We raised close to $2 million. We had 3,000 volunteers. You could read all about it. But that phase of our movement was about exposing the swarm. Globally, we ran the Fire Fauci campaign, not Booby Kennedy, not Trump. And we educated hundreds and millions of people, half a billion people, about the immune system. And at that same time, our campaign discovered how they cheat elections, how they manipulate signature verification, how they flip votes. I didn't see Elon Musk there talking about paper ballots. We did. We put forward the solution, paper ballots, hand counted paper ballots. But 2019, 2020 was about exposing the fraudulent election system, exposing, sharing with people how the immune system works, exposing the fact that governments control social media companies. We did that. We did that. Okay. So, but it was exposing. And then between 2021 and today, 2024, July 11th, our movement has been building globally, taking all the learnings, mobilizing people. So we mobilized, you know, out of the 8 billion people, about half a billion to a billion people learned about our videos, many of you. And then we built our movement, identifying from those people, people had the wherewithal to watch the swarm video. That's why we play it. Do you want to understand how the swarm works? And then out of those people watch a swarm video, some people came to the open house. And out of the people came to the open house, we now have Get Off the Plantation course, where we want people to really watch a concrete set of videos to understand system science. We built all that. When I'm saying building, we built the infrastructure, advanced the data center, built the software, all this stuff, creating in some ways a global university for revolutionary change. And then we started our leadership program to identify those people who bottoms up could be inspirational to people. We learned what leaders to keep, what leaders to get out, people who didn't cut it. There were people who could do really good on the ground, but what is a leader? What is a leader? And who are the people that we want bottoms up to lead? And I would say there are three qualities. There could be more, but there are three fundamental qualities. First quality is, do people want to actually learn? Do they want to learn the technique, the systems, the science, the framework? And that takes commitment. You have to let go of your ego. People say, oh yeah, I know it all. I'm a systems guy. Well, no, you don't. You don't. Because that systems knowledge is not taught anywhere on the planet. Even MIT professors send their students at MIT to come take my course, the course that you guys all have, where MIT people charge $40,000, $50,000, $100,000. We charge $100. So do they want to take the course? Do they really want to learn it? Do they want to understand the science of systems? Because it is the science the elites learn. Number two, do they have emotional maturity? Do they have people around them who support them? Are they around people who want to weaken them or support them? Because we're talking about being part of a movement. We're going to lead other people. You need supportive people. Emotional stability and maturity, very different thing. And the third part of it is, can people take directives? Because you cannot be a great leader if you can't follow. I'll give you an example. To go collect signatures, collecting signatures to get on the ballot is not about campaigning. We'll tell this to people, please don't campaign. People go out and they'll collect two signatures in an hour. And I said, what were you doing? Oh, I was telling them about you, Dr. Shiva, and how you did this and how you did that. That's not what we're doing. We need to collect signatures. You want to tell people, look, we want more choices on the ballot. It's not about Dr. Shiva, but yet they'll go do campaigning and they'll come back with two or three signatures. Then other people listen and they understand this technique, no different than throwing a curveball or hitting a ball properly or draw in all these different techniques. And they'll, a young person will learn it and they'll do really well, but it's about taking directions, following. You can't be a great leader unless you're willing to follow technique and practice. It reminds me when I was in third grade, it'd been a year when I came to the United States, and my teacher, Miss Hall, handed out a exam. And the top of the exam said, exam, and it said, second line, please read all the instructions before you begin this exam. And it had about 10 pages, you know, about 100 questions, something like that. So I'm looking around the room and you know, the first question is, what is 2 + 2? What is 3 + 4? Jump up and down with your tongue hanging out, random things like this. And I actually followed the instructions. I went through the whole thing. And the last direction on the last page was, you don't need to answer any of these questions. Simply put your name and address or date and put down your pencil. And for 2 hours, I'm watching everyone doing all these wacky stuff. People tend not to follow directions because they want to do what they think is right, not what is right. So it was very funny because I was the only one out of those 50 kids who got it right. So we live in a world right now where leadership is very, very sparse. It's very hard to build a movement because you do need leaders. The elites, on the other hand, are able to pick and choose their leaders. If you take an institute, there's a technology institute in India called IIT. 1 million people apply to it. 1 million people. You know how many people they let in? 1,000 people. They have exams, they have this, they have da-da-da-da. So out of this pool of 1 million really smart people, they find the creme de la creme. And then out of those 1,000 people, they then teach them advanced science. They find people who are emotionally stable and mature. And then they give people directives on how to maximize and rape people for power, profit, control, and they reward them. They have very smart people, guys. We're not playing with dumb people. I was supposed to be one of those people. Now, how do we build a movement? It's something we have to contend with out of the fact that the majority of people are not eating properly. They eat crap. They destroy their bodies. They don't have parents who are telling them how to behave properly, how to think clearly, how to take a task and complete it end to end. This is what we have to contend with when working people have to say, I don't want to be part of that. And now we have to do videos, educating people, figure out new techniques, and then we're trying to build our bottoms up leadership. We got to find people who'll study. And we have to be very cut and dry. You don't want to study? Bye-bye. Do you have emotional maturity? Are you willing to follow directions? Because if we don't have this bottoms-up leadership with those skills, do you think we're going to be able to defeat them? Do you really think so? Go start a company. Go try to find 25-year-olds. You'll find them with all sorts of problems. So we have a Herculean task. Someone said, Dr. Shiva, you look tired today. Yeah, this is what I have to contend with. When I ran one of my companies, it was all HR dealing with people with problems. But in our movement, we have gone through that building phase. We know how to identify great leaders now. We know how to nurture them. We know how to support people in the right ways. We know how to make sure someone like Jewel can get this card and hand it out. and make him accountable. People hand out this card. They go to Shatter the Swarm. I can tell people, Jewel, in Fairfield, California, there's these people who want to meet with you. We've built that infrastructure. But leaders need to have these three qualities. Do they really want to think? Do they want to take care of their bodies? You can't have people leaders when they're, you know, 5,000 pounds overweight. I'm sorry. Or they're not committed to their own health. You got to, you know, it may be hard, but you got to want to take care of your own health. You got to show responsibility. So not everyone can do that. There's lots of challenges. That's fine, but they can't be leaders. We will have a lot of people who'll do a lot of great work, but recognize that we are having to do what the elites did with all the resources, with the trillions of dollars of resources. We're doing it for pennies. I hope you guys understand what I'm talking about. We have to build the equivalent of MIT and Yale and Harvard and take this massive human material and build this movement. It's an extraordinary amount of work. My running for president gives all of you the opportunity. It gives us the opportunity to find great people. Because when you do tasks, it's not theoretical. When you have to go hand out flyers and meet people, it's not theoretical. And that's what we're doing. We've literally created a community, a paradigm, an educational process. It's been a lot of hard work, guys. But if we find more committed people who understand what I'm sharing today, we're going to win. It's going to be a long game we're playing. But it's not easy. You got to find good people. You have to have the framework to understand it's not about quantity. We had one of our volunteers flew in to help us here. And he said, Dr. Shiva, how do we win? I go, have you gone through the Truth from Health Warrior course? Oh, yeah, I have it, but I haven't finished it. I said, why don't you finish it? He's a good guy, but he hasn't taken the course. He hasn't finished it because he's asking a question that comes from someone who hasn't studied. So I said, you need to go study. And I said, look, here's the reality. It's not about the number of people. It's about the quality of people. And a very good friend of mine, Bruce, who grew up in Louisiana with nothing, and he made it to MIT. Bruce said, you know what we're living in is there's 1,000 prisoners in prison, and a lot of the doors are actually open, but they never even bother going out the door. And there's one prison guard. One prison guard is controlling 1,000 people. How's he doing that? Because those 1,000 people don't know how to get out of that prison. Now, imagine if you only had one person, that's all you need, or maybe three people. It's not like you need all 10,000 people to realize this shit. You just need three people. Because those three people will say, you know, hey, prisoner, this is how the door works. It actually opens, push it open. Or why don't we organize? So it's not about the number of people. It's about the level of consciousness. Do people want to study? Do people want to understand technique and follow directions? And do they have the emotional maturity? How many Malcolm X's were there? That's why I wanted to pay uses. One Malcolm X. So we need to get this right. It is not about a bunch of morons. It's about enough people who understand the dynamics, enough people who have maturity, enough people who want to follow directives. You see? Rose in New Jersey, she got all the signatures we needed in New Jersey. She followed directions. She's gone through the program. She has maturity. So we did the signature collection process. We tell people globally to hand out cards. And somebody, oh, why do I have to hand out cards? I'm not going outside. Oh, this is so it's a menial job. Out. You don't get it. You haven't understood anything. That's okay. You want to be on the plantation all day. But we're building a movement with a scientific framework that has cracked the code. and we will be uncompromising in developing leaders who have the emotional maturity, who understand the science, and who value technique and know how to follow directions. Those are the qualities of real leaders. And we want people who want to save themselves. And we have created solutions for those people. We have the solution of Clean Food Certified. We know how to take a product end to end and figure out by the time it comes to your mouth, what was it processed properly? And it's a global certification. Our movement owns it. You own it. That's an amazing solution. We have a platform that can determine out of all the 10 to the power of 32 molecules, 10 with 32 zeros. That's how many molecules are in nature. What are the right combinations that can cure any disease? That's cytosol. We have another technology platform for all of us. Which is the right medicine for you? Not every food is right for everyone. And we can educate you guys to do that. So we've created our parallel infrastructure. But at the heart of this is our community. It is our community. Because if you look at this graph and you look at what's happening with lifespan, that red line, I keep saying that lifespan is going down. There are many factors on why people live long, and they're actually very mundane factors. You know, do you eat a nutritious meal? You know, do you have a schedule? Do you sleep reasonably well? Forget all the supplements and all this wacky stuff, okay? But one of the most important things is, do you have community and meaningful relationships? Number one reason people live long, people they can trust, people in their environment that do what they say, that they don't view life as a transactional relationship. Oh, you do this for me, I'll do that for you. You know what I'm talking about, right? People actually give lovingly without expectation in personal relationships. Those people create great love in your life. You feel comfortable. You want to give. They give, you give. That's where love really comes from. And that kind of love affects your entire body in a very powerful, meaningful way. It lowers your cortisol levels. Community. Our movement, at the soul of our movement is this community. We have people who come to our movement, do stuff. They don't get paid. They do stuff because they have a full-time job and they do this. That comes from sheer love. Love for others, love for humankind, and a righteous hatred against oppression. And out of that community, we are finding these amazing people who want to lead, and we've had to put some discipline. But that is what we've created for all of you. And all of you can be a part of that. Learn the science. If you made it this far, don't be lazy. And if you think you know it, study it again and study it. You can, and it's 50 years worth of knowledge we put together. Study it, learn it. And then if you learn this stuff, participate. Participate. Be noble. Don't learn this stuff and disappear. And when people do that, we know they really didn't get it. And then understand that we have to value people's skill sets. Value them. And if we do that and we get enough leaders who do this, you know, those prison doors are going to open up pretty fast. But it is us who are keeping ourselves enslaved because we believe someone else is going to do it for us. It's not going to happen that way. And the elites know this. So they have distractions. They put everything they do is all theater, guys. All of it. Do you think suddenly Biden has, you know, they found a Joe Biden? Come on. They make him look horrible on that debate. They didn't give his right cocktails. You think that just happened mistakenly? No. They want him out. The swarm spits out its own. They have a plan. And we need to recognize that. And the only way out of this is to build this incredible movement in this community we've built. So I invite you to become part of this community, go through the course, learn it, because you're going to get enriched not only with knowledge, but a community of wonderful people. So that's what I wanted to share today, these qualities of leadership that as we build our movement, that we are encouraging people to be part of. And it's a lot of work, but that's what we're doing. Thank you. We have, we're broadcasting this live. What I'd like to do is to introduce people and that are here. New people. So if you're new, use the, we'll go to the section of the talk where we have Q&A. But let's begin with people who where it says reactions. Is that right, Suresh? You click that.
Yep.
And you click on raise hand. So if we could have the new people raise their hands and kindly, and Kevin will come back to your question if that's okay. I didn't mean to stop everyone, but we want to use this time to introduce new people. Just let us know where you're from, how you came across this movement, and a little bit about yourself, you know? So let's go over to Robert Ramirez. Go ahead, Robert.
Can you hear me?
Yes, Robert. Where are you from? Tell us a little bit and how you came to this.
I'm in Santa Paula, California. And I guess I've been awake since after 9/11. So, my antenna's been working, so I know, you know, what's going on. But, I'm not in a position to connect with a lot of people, unfortunately. I'm on disability right now. I got about 24 signatures for you so far.
That's great, and, man.
I got also, you know, it was something about, you know, going to the city clerk and getting some information. I got that. I got the response from them. I forwarded to you. So I'm doing what I can.
Well, that's good. Good to have you, Robert.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, Robert, I think Maria Canistra, if you haven't met with her, and Jill Jones, Suresh will give you their information. You probably connected with them. That's good. But go through the training program, because just understand that the powerful way that the elites have run this game is to demoralize us working people. Demoralization. And the fact that you are out there collecting signatures, even if you collected one or five or 10, it doesn't matter. The fact is you went and did it while others were out there just watching you do it. So you got to give yourself a big, big hand. Thanks, Robert. Let's go to Anna Andrade. Sorry, Anna Andrade from Texas.
Anna Andrade.
Anna Andrade. How are you, Anna?
Just fine. I'm an older person, retired. I don't have a lot of money, but I can hand out flyers and get signatures if they need them in Texas. I'm a little unclear on where we are in Texas as far as needing signatures.
Where are you? What part of Texas are you in?
El Paso.
Oh, great. I've been. It's a border town. Been there. Yeah. Next to Juarez, but what we're going to do is let's introduce you to Ryan Shea.
I already.
So, if you have you connected with Ryan?
Yeah.
Okay. So, one of the important things is, you know, we did cards now in Spanish, as well as in English. I don't know if he shared those with you.
But he didn't mention the Spanish.
Okay. Yeah. So you should get those cards from Ryan. And, you know, because you have obviously a mixed population down there, people who speak Spanish and English. So kindly get that from him and, you can help him that way, Anna, but good to have you.
Thank you.
All right. So again, if anyone's new, I know there's new people here. If you don't be shy. It's part of what we want to do is to, introduce new people. So if I see people here, I'm going to go. Select people. So we have Chris Ariola. Chris Ariola, how are you? Chris Ariola, kindly. Hi, Chris. Where are you at?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, where are you out of, Chris?
I'm in Los Angeles. and I was introduced to you by Cameron Losey. So I'm just getting my feet wet with all your information, and it's very interesting. So glad to be here.
And what do you do out there, Chris?
I'm a real estate agent.
Oh, you are? Okay.
Yeah.
Great. The gentleman I mentioned, who's our leader in Texas, Ryan, is also an agent. He does commercial in in real estate. But I assume you've connected.
Yeah, I'm residential.
Okay. I assume you connect with Maria. And
no, just I've spoken to, like I said, Cameron Losey.
Okay.
And he's in Arizona, who I assume you know.
Yeah, I do. So what we'll want, since you're in California, Suresh will text you right now and he'll give you Maria and Jill Jones's information so you can connect.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds good.
Good to have you.
All right. Yeah. Thanks so much.
Let's go to Shastri Maharaj. Shastri Maharaj, how are you?
I am doing fine.
Good, Shastri. Where are you out of?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me though?
Yeah. Where are you out of?
Katy, Texas.
Oh, you're in Texas too. Okay. Good to have you.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. I have to say, before I get into like the what I do and that sort of stuff, I want to say you have that Shot of the Swamp video, for example. I've been kind of searching for answers for like, gosh, at least 10 years. And I find that you have the most comprehensive. You put it so succinctly. So, I mean, it drives it to the heart of the matter. What the problem is, you outline who the actors are, and then you propose a solution. So I want to say thank you for elucidating all these situations that's been really being a problem for the last half a century, really, for the last 50 years. I am actually from the Caribbean, but I've been here in Texas roughly 15 years. Okay. And I've been searching for answers and I know there's something terribly wrong, terribly, terribly wrong. But I believe, and you out there, you guys, all members of, would forgive me for saying this, but most Americans are so brainwashed by the media, for example. They don't know the full, you know, the full details of what is happening. And I say, I want to thank you again for putting it so clearly. I mean, it's there for anyone to understand if they can just open their eyes to see and to hear and to learn. It's there. However, having said that, I do want to have something off you. Are you still with me?
Yeah. So if you have part of, if you can hold that until the Q&A, we can do that. Part of what we want to do is introduce you. So we have introductions. Okay. And what do you do down in Texas, Shastri?
Oh, I represent smaller companies. I don't like to work for larger companies, meaning these SWAM associated companies, but I work for usually mom and pop businesses. I do, I basically get them more customized through sales and marketing for several smaller regional businesses.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Good to have you. I think one of the critical things you need to understand with that SWAM video.
I should mention, just let me cut you off for a sec. I have passed out some flyers, that Shot of the Swarm flyer.
Yep.
I have passed out some of those already. And I just wanted to mention that. But yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Great. Have you connected with Ryan Shay there?
No, but because of what's been happening these last month, 6 weeks or so, we have storms and power's been out, et cetera. Power just came back today, is why I'm here today.
Okay.
Yeah. But I have seen his emails in my, I have seen his emails.
Get involved with him. And we're building a strong community there. But get involved and he'll give you directions. But we'll come back to you. Good to have you. Thanks for your comment.
Oh, thank you. Okay, sure.
Let's go to Harvey West. Harvey, how are you? Harvey West. If you can unmute yourself kindly, Harvey. Harvey West. That's interesting. No name even appears there. Harvey West. Hi, Harvey. We can see some video. Hello?
Yes, here.
Hi, Harvey. Where are you out of?
Mount Vernon, Washington.
Oh, okay. Have you met with Bazin Naga?
Yes, I have, but only through the telephone.
Okay. Well, you should connect with him. He's done a very good job to help get us on the ballot there. Young gentleman, very young kid.
He's a workhorse.
He's a workhorse, follows good directions. He's studied the materials. He's an example of a young leader. He's only in his 20s. But connect with him, Harvey. And how did you came to find out about us?
Just over the YouTube.
Oh, okay.
So someone mentioned you, and I watched a few of your, really from the health angle more than anything else.
Yeah, one of the things is that Suresh and the team have put together now a Get Off the Plantation video, which organizes out of all the, I think, 3,000 videos, the top like 10 or 15 videos into an extraordinary course. So people can, in 2 hours, get about 20, 30 years worth of knowledge in a very compact way. It's like a super vitamin pill. But good to have you, Harvey. But connect with Bazin and get involved. Good to have you.
All right. Thank you.
What else do we have here? If you're new, kindly raise your hand, meaning you may have come here before, but if you're new, sorry about that. But if you're new and you have not introduced yourself, that's, you may have come many times, but you haven't introduced yourself, kindly introduce yourself. So let me go to Sene Patti, S-E-N-N-E-P-O-T-T-I-E. Sene, can you kindly introduce yourself? Sene Patti. Suresh, can you select them, please?
Yeah. Sene Patti, you will get a pop-up. Click on unmute so we can hear from you. Anyone new, don't be shy, raise your hand using the reactions button.
Okay, let's
Spencer, Masterson.
Let's go to Arbon in Connecticut. Arbon.
Hey, Dr. Shiva.
Hi, Arbon. Can you kindly introduce yourself?
Yeah, I just didn't do that because I actually joined back in November, but I've been away the last few months.
All right. Let maybe people just know what you do, how you came to the movement, et cetera.
So I'm the physics lab supervisor at University of Hartford in West Hartford, Connecticut. And my family also owns a pizzeria. We're originally from Albania. And I mean, I've always known about the swarm. My parents always kind of taught me about that. But I found you being shared around by a lot of people after this most recent genocide started. And then I actually met you. I mean, I don't expect you to remember me because you meet so many people, but I actually met you back in November. I went to a potluck.
Oh, I remember you now. I remember.
Yes.
Yes. How are you?
Doing better. I actually got into some trouble with the school that I work for.
Okay. I remember now.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, good to reconnect with you.
Yeah. And I also, I need to reconnect with the Connecticut group and get back to,
Well, if you talk to Rose, Rose will connect you with people there. And where's Rose right here? I just saw Rose.
Yeah. I was just talking to her, but she told me to speak to Suresh.
Okay. Suresh, can you connect, follow up with him?
Or I think, or maybe she said to share my info. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Rose, so Suresh will connect with you, Arbon.
Okay.
Great. All right. I think we pretty much got everyone. Let's open it up to Q&A, and then we'll wrap up. Maybe have an early evening today. Let's go to Kevin Keeble. Go ahead, Kevin.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, Kevin. Good to see you again.
Oh, wait. I'll try to keep this short because I don't want to waste your time. Earlier this year, someone hit my car and their insurance company tried to scam me because they didn't want to pay it. And long story short, I beat him out of court. And they also paid about $2,500 more than the bill from the body shop. And the reason I'm coming to you today is to, because I made a video showing how I did it. And if you want to bring it to your people to let them know how you can beat the insurance company out of court and so on and so forth. And, it's also very relative to the things that your guys who are getting signatures, you know, when they're getting harassed by cops. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, Kevin. No, I'm listening.
You know how they're getting harassed by cops
Yeah.
in the, you know, for getting signatures. Well, there's a lot of, like, really, people have to learn how to represent themselves in court. And I know how to do it. And I'm going to lead you on that path in this video if you want to see it. But if you're interested, I mean, hey, up to you. Just letting you know.
All right. Yeah. So, Kevin, where are you out of? Let me get your...
I actually took your Warrior Scour thing.
No, but where are you out of? Which
Chicago area. Suburbs.
You're in Chicago. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So why don't you just, Suresh will give you my email address. Just send it over to me.
Before you do that, I actually came in here like a couple of years ago and you told me, I was telling you about like me and what I do and blah, blah, blah. And, I did that cause you wanted, I do full stack web development and video production and all that. And I did that, but no one ever responded to me. So yeah.
Well,
can you give me something that will like actually give me a response?
Yeah. So if you talk to Suresh, Suresh is a guy who does all of our IT work.
Did you
follow up?
No one followed up. I did. I emailed you and nobody got back.
Did
to
you
me.
Did you follow up after that?
Yeah. Oh. You mean like a second email?
Yeah. Multiple times. Yeah. You know,
I don't really know, honestly.
Yeah. The reason I asked that is, look, everyone here works as volunteers. We have a lot of stuff going on. We're not like Adidas customer service. You send an email or JetBlue. So well, I think this needs to be understood, right? You can't get spoiled to think, oh, I sent an email. You guys didn't get back. I'm not saying you're saying that.
Okay.
I'm saying you're saying that. Okay. But we have to have this approach in life that I appreciate you reaching out, but you also have to understand that if things don't work in a certain way, like I go to collect signatures, right? And people chase us away, right? You learned how to fight, but this is a very important point, and I'm not isolating you, okay? People deep down, the swarm has infested all of us to think that we're here to serve them, right? Suresh works a full-time job. He works at night sometimes, night hours. And he helps us. So if someone doesn't respond back to you, for God's sake, try again. You know, they say sometimes you have to try again, but it's not like no one didn't want to get back to you. So let's have I'm not saying you don't, but we need to have that stick-to-itiveness attitude. But it's good to have you back, Kevin. Thanks. Okay, let's go to Cameron from Flagstaff. Go ahead, Cameron.
Hi, Dr. Shiva. First of all, I just want to say I woke up a couple of weeks ago and with a tremendous amount of gratitude for you. And it really hit me. You know, you just keep showing up every week and I'm sure every day. And it really inspires me. And my friend Chris is here. I've known him since high school. He introduced himself. He spoke to him. My friend Todd Robinson is here, also a high school friend.
No,
I'd like to introduce him too. If Todd could introduce himself, I would appreciate. He's a great. Both these guys are awesome, and I'm just really glad they're here.
Where are they, Cameron? Thanks for sharing that. You know your feelings and your heartfelt message. I can tell you on a personal note, you know that. Doing this every day, I mean, it's every hour, people tell you. You know, it was interesting, you know, we have a building here in Cambridge. I think I mentioned this. You know, our AC systems went out and no one helps us. People want to rip you off. You know, you have contractors come, someone will charge you $20,000 and someone will charge you five, right? We eventually had to go and figure out how to do it in the midst of also collecting signatures and doing videos and doing science, you see? So when people tell me, and again, I don't want to take Kevin the wrong, I wrote to you guys and you didn't get back to me. It's like, come on. Again, I'm not isolating Kevin, but we bust our ass and the people in this movement work very, very hard. And we need others to appreciate the fact that we have incredible people, but it is every day, man. And I have that approach, Cameron, because I have great love for my great grandfather. Every night I see him in my third eye. This guy worked out in the fields, 93 years old, with nothing, but he was one of the most extraordinary. I mean, he looked like an eagle if you saw him. You didn't fuck around with him. He worked his butt off. He died when he was 102. And he worked until he was 93, 94 years old. He was an indentured servant when he was a 13-year-old kid. And I see his incredible love and defiance and hard work. And that's what moves me, Cameron. And it's out of deep, deep, deep love and respect and devotion. So you got to be moved by great feelings of love and respect for life and others who work hard. And to me, hard work and commitment and dedication, these are the only things that are real. And so I get very, very excited when we find incredible people like that. And to have a community of people like that is what we're building. And the value systems of real people is what the world needs. But thank you for your kind comments, and thanks for inviting your other people here. But all of you guys, we've created a great infrastructure, but we need your help. Right attitude. Let's go over to Oleg Prokopiev. Oleg Prokopiev from California. Oleg, how are you?
Good. How are you, Dr. Shiva?
Good.
I have a question for you that I wanted to ask
you. Hey, Jason, take care of them.
A long time ago. I know from your several speeches that you are very supportive of the Marxist theory, right? You study Capital. My question is, and I thought you, I think you agree that the power of any theory is in its prediction, is in its power to predict the future, right? When considering this, I think though Marx, in his works, Capital, described the past maybe very well, but he totally failed, I think, to predict the current situation. Same with the IPCC models, climate models, right? They fit perfectly in the past, but they totally, you know, messed up the current. They missed the current temperatures. So, what do you think? You think it's still valuable, this theory, or how should we deal with the Marxism?
Yeah. So, Oleg, for my journey, so not only have I studied Marx, I've read Adam Smith, you know, who was a contemporary of Marx, right? Lenin, Che Guevara, you know, you go back, you know, Socrates, Plato, you go, all these thinkers, right? Because I was very interested in their thoughts, you know? So when you study revolution, you study all these people. You don't just say, oh, I don't like that guy because someone said this. You study all of them. So I guess I had the luxury that I didn't have any prejudices. You know, I studied all of this stuff since I was like a 4 or 5 year old kid, believe it or not, you know? What I've always shared, if you look at my videos, is that most of these people in their sincerity who are trying to figure this out were economists or philosophers, right? Or lawyers, right? They were not engineers, and they did not have the theoretical framework of system science or engineering system science at the time. So it's like, imagine you being a Socrates and Marx trying to say, oh, I'm going to build an airplane. He has no idea of Bernoulli's principles. He doesn't even have the math. He can't even understand lift and, right, any of this stuff, but he's theorizing, right? He may be able to theorize into the past why all these airplanes failed, and he may get that right, but he's not able to predict because he didn't have the right theory, right? He didn't have the framework. But they were summarizing. Remember, Marx was a journalist. He worked for the New York Tribune. He was an economist, right? So when in my studies, I found Marx, and I've said this retrospectively, understood things well. And his theory of consciousness arising from productive forces is pretty brilliant. Okay? That's really his contribution that Marx made. but he made many mistakes because he didn't understand engineering science. He thought that, you know, human beings were going to break from their machines, right? And overcome, but we've actually become closer to our machines. We're all part of this now. We're fusing with these machines now. He couldn't predict that. Okay. He didn't have an engineering framework. I mean, the transistor wasn't developed, right? How could he think about this? But retrospectively, Marx made some very powerful observations. No different than Adam Smith made some powerful observations, right? No different than Isaac Newton made powerful observations, seeing an apple drop and the gravitational forces. But Newton couldn't predict. He didn't understand how the Lorentz transformation took place, how, you know, space and time were interconnected, right? A la gravity that took Einstein. But doesn't mean Newton is a scumbag. Like, you can't discount all of his stuff. And this is what people do. You have to appreciate Newton's work for the time that he was. He made some very powerful observations about the mass of objects and movement, etc. Marx must be given credit for what he did bring out. You know, ultimately, Marx and Adam Smith weren't that different. Marx, if you read the first chapter of Das Kapital, he's talking about the connection of a human being to their creator and the fact that the state should not exist. You would call him a libertarian, right? But his prospective views, he didn't have enough data. In fact, only 2% of his work was on the future. 98% of his work were on the past. And in fact, when Marx died, Engels said the worst people in the world are Marxists. Right? And that's true. I don't think Marx wanted Marxism, you know? Marx wanted people to apply the scientific method to understand the intersection of consciousness and the productive forces of labor. That's quite profound. And you can't take that away from Marx. He was the first one to observe that consciousness is directly related to productive forces. And that still stands. Lenin, you know, came and wanted to understand how you could advance Marxism. And he, you know, his idea was that capitalism goes through different stages of development, the concept of imperialism. Lenin should get credit for that. His concept of a Leninist democratic centralized party was very successful, but its success was also its demise. Because Lenin, towards the end of his life, he realized that you cannot have a revolution in one country. It needs to be global, you know, of working people bottoms up, because one country does it, they're going to get destroyed, right? So to the extent that the Russian Revolution, to a period of time, was very successful, its success invited all the swarm to come and destroy it. And so you have what took place in Russia. But I think you have to look at these people with, you know, getting rid of all the gibberish of the academic people who hate Marx, the academics hate Lenin, the academics hate everyone, right? Because they don't want people to even think about revolutionary change. So they don't teach you the French Revolution in high school. They don't teach you really the Russian Revolution. They don't want people to get ideas, right? So I think, you know, I studied these things, but I knew that something was wrong in them. There was a flaw. And it was in 2007, Oleg. Literally, if you came to my house when I was a kid, I'd have these two bookshelves. One bookshelf had all these revolutionary writings. I had all the works of Lenin and Marx and Adam Smith. I mean, I would read this stuff. And the other bookshelf literally had the writings of yoga, meditation, ancient systems of medicine. And do you know there were times where I would throw away whole books because they bothered me? And I had this huge dialectic. Because I said, how could this be true and this be true, right? And it was only in 2007 that I realized that there was a bridge, that the bridge was engineering system science. That Marx, Lenin, Adams, all these guys, Socrates, they didn't know the science of systems, because that science, Oleg, only came to being with the work of, you know, Ilya Prigozhin, one of your countrymen, if you're from Russia, okay? I mean, he doesn't get any credit for what he did do, and his concept of self-organizing systems, brilliant. And I intersected that with ancient systems of medicine, and I created a framework for system science that, to me, now resolves the difference between what they call spirituality and materialism. This really bothered me. We created an artificial difference between science and spirituality when there is no difference, when you understand the nature of self-organizing systems, that there is communication between information, matter, and energy. So, you know, I think we have to see these people in a long arc of thought, you know, the zeitgeist of human thinking, where it's been going. And the academics don't, you know, the left doesn't really know Marx. They talk about Marx, and they've made transgender Marxism, right? That was a goal that a bunch of academics decided to do in the late 80s. They said, we must destroy the real left by making it all talk about sexuality. So they destroy the concept of bottoms-up workers' movements by talking about crazy shit. And the right took advantage of that. And to the extent our movement values the understanding of Marx's work, not Marxism, we value the work of Adam Smith. We value the work of Ilya Prigogine. You know, we value the work of Lenin, right? We value the work of Susan B. Anthony and Florence Nightingale, all these people. These people are amazing thinkers, whether you like them or not. They probed concepts that others had not probed at the time. So that's where I put Marx in that context. Oleg, 90% of his work was retrospective. I mean, he only spent a little bit prospectively, right? And he didn't really expand on it. Workers of the World Unite. Okay, sounds pretty good, but that was pretty much it, right? In a sense. But you have to give it to him, the concept of consciousness as an emergent property out of productive forces. He may not have even said it that way. I do as a system scientist. That was brilliant. Pure, sheer brilliance. I'm sorry, I have you muted. I don't know if that answers your question.
Thank you. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it did. Yeah, thank you so much.
And I think the Russian thinkers of the time have contributed immensely to humanity, that, you know, in many, many ways that they don't get a lot of credit for. There's something within the Russian history of thought, mathematics, science that I don't think the West fully appreciates in many ways. So, but what we've done, Oleg, is we've integrated. The aha moment I had was that the system science that you see over here in engineering system science literally linked with ancient systems of yoga and medicine. And it linked directly with the work of Ilya Prigogine. You know, I'm getting a little bit theoretical here. So I think I've really cracked the code on something. Now, I don't have enough. I mean, I do it in our courses, but we could do a real working group if you want, you know, to have longer discussions on this. But at the heart of this is in some ways is a significant breakthrough in applying system science in a deep, deep, profound way. All right. All right, everyone. I hope those of you who are new connect with the incredible leaders that are here who give immensely of their time. They're great people, that you connect with them and you build community with them, but specifically get on the ground and interact with people. Go through the course. If you made it this far, for God's sakes, go through it formally, connect with people. We've created this wonderful framework here. All right, everyone. Suresh, thank you very much. Suresh works nights. And then he takes time from wherever he can to help us. I want to thank him. I know a lot of our leaders who typically help with our course, we don't want to bug them. So we have them on the ground, you know, getting signatures, Bill Grooms, Emily, who else is here that are out there on the ground, Marcus in DC, Garen. So we have a lot of people who are quiet. They're probably out there collecting signatures while they're on this call. So I want to thank everyone for all the great work you do and get involved. All right, everyone, be well. Be the light. Best to you and your family. Be well. Thank you. Suresh, you'll take care of it, right? I'm going to leave.
Yes. Thank you, Dr. Shiva.
All right, everyone, to those of you who are here, I hope that was valuable, but get involved in this movement. And I hope this is valuable. And we can have more conversations about Marx, Russia, those kind of things as we want. to have. But be well. Thank you. And everyone, go to truthfreedomhealth.com and become a warrior scholar. Meet amazing people. Invest in yourself. Thank you. Be well. And have a good night. And I best to all of you. Let me just finish up with our little end video here. Thank you.